tonight, the Lord put on my heart was to talk about the love of God. And if I had one subject that I could speak on, only one, I would pick the love of God. Because the atmosphere of heaven, the electricity of heaven, is the love of God. And I remember Pat Hodges, who's a prophet and he goes to heaven, been to heaven so many times. He said that we would have school in heaven. That was like, really? School in heaven? You know, back when I heard it like 25 years ago, it's like school in heaven. And he said that there would be pastors that would be in kindergarten because they did not learn how to love. And so we don't want to be in kindergarten when we go to heaven. So we're going to pay attention tonight to this message. Miss Lily is just so filled with love. And that love comes when you behold the God of love in the secret place. Because as we behold him, we become like him. So people may wonder, why does Miss Lily get so many prayers answered? Well, she's consistent about getting in the face of God in one-on-one intimacy with the Lord. And when you have a relationship with the King, he's going to answer what you ask of him, because you'll never ask amiss once you start face to face with the Lord, and he will give you what you desire. So I just wanted to throw that in. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, let love be your highest goal. That's the New Living Translation. In the Amplified Classic, it says, eagerly pursue, seek to acquire this love. Make it your great quest. When I listened to Rick Joyner share about the final quest, and he said that everyone wanted, he was meeting all these different ministry leaders going to the throne. And some of them were in the outskirts. Some of them were closer. And he said, the ones that were the closest, I mean, everyone wants to be in the throne room. That is the central activity of heaven, is the throne room of God. And he said that the ones that were sitting on thrones were the ones that were the most like Jesus, that were humble and loving. We can have a lot of things. And it says in 1 Corinthians 13 that if we have not love, we are nothing but a resounding gong. And if you think about what a gong would sound like, if you've ever listened to the Gong Show, there's nothing pleasant about the gong. And people don't listen to gongs. People listen when you know that you love them. They know it. Jesus said he would know, people would know us by our fruits. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the first fruit is love. If we have not love, we're nothing but what? A resounding cymbal or a gong. In 1 John 4:8, it says, he who does not, or she who does not love, he or she who does not love does not know God, because God is love. And do you remember when I shared about Pat Hodges, the first message that Jesus gave him when he appeared in his apartment at Rhema? And he brought this great big Bible and he had a pointer and he pointed to 1 Corinthians 13 and he said this, and I don't remember if he had a pointer, but he had a great big Bible and he pointed to 1 Corinthians 13 and he said, this is the basis for all ministry. It's the love. Now the gifts are going to fade, but love is eternal. Joy is eternal. And if you walk in love, then you're going to have joy and you're going to have peace. In Ephesians 5:1 is an amazing verse. It says, therefore, be imitators of God, dear children, and walk in love. How are we going to walk in love? How do you walk in love? That's right. Pastor Carlos says that you have to walk in God. He says if loving in John 14:23, if we love Jesus, we'll obey his word. So loving Jesus, starting by loving Jesus, is a good place to start stirring up that love that's inside of us and meditating on those verses about love and receiving. Ascend and let the Father love you. And once the Father starts releasing love into you, that fountain of love will start flowing out of us. And so what's interesting is it says in Hebrews 10:24, it says, let us consider thoughtfully how we may encourage one another to love. Another version says how we may stimulate and incite to love. Motivate one another to acts of love. And finally, the God's Word translation says to encourage each other to show love. So in Jeremiah, what's interesting is that the Lord practices love. Did you know in Jeremiah 9:24, it says, I am the Lord who practices loving kindness. Loving kindness. And so what does 1 Corinthians 13 tell us that love is? Patience and what? And kindness. In other words, love needs to be demonstrated. It needs to be seen, to be shown. And that's how when, if I demonstrate love to Irene, it starts multiplying. When she receives love, I demonstrate love and she receives love and she likes it, then she starts demonstrating love and showing love. It's contagious and we can have a love revolution. A revolution of love. And we could say all lives matter. The word loving kindness in Hebrew is one of my favorite words. It's hesed. And it's because that's who God is. He says, I am the Lord in Exodus 34. I am the Lord, the compassionate, gracious. The compassionate word there, I think, is hesed. And it means kindness, desire, warmth, great warmth of feeling, passion, zeal towards the one you love, benevolence, mercy, grace, favor. If God had to practice love, what about us? I mean, and God is love. So what does it say in the New Testament? Turn your Bible to Hebrews 13:1, and it says, let love for your fellow believers, your brothers and sisters, continue and be a fixed practice with you. Never let it fail. When Jesus, I guess, and it was Paul, shared about that we need to die daily, that dying daily is to self. And self is selfish. Self-ish. Self. Selfish. That's why we need to die to self. Because that's part of the old man. And we have to put it to death. And the Lord said that we were to put on, in Colossians, he says, put on as the elect of God, holy and dearly loved, bowels of compassion. And then it says, kindness, long-suffering. Put on compassion, kindness, long-suffering, humility. But above all, long-suffering, above all, we're to put on love. Because that binds us together in perfect unity. There's no disunity when there's love in the atmosphere. And we are responsible for the atmosphere in our homes. And the way that love works is that it is a circle. It's a covenant. It's a covenant, like the ring, like a marriage ring. And that means that when somebody doesn't show you love, you have to show them love. Love is unconditional. It's not based on them responding and doing the right thing all the time. And that doesn't mean that sometimes, you know, can get irritated. Don't speak during those times. Just smile. But love is a circle and it's unconditional. So as long as you don't break it, then that circle can keep going. It can come back around. But if you don't show love and you break it, the circuit's broken. The connection's broken. The relationship's broken. That's why Jesus said in Luke 6:27, and listen when he says in the Amplified, but I say to you who are listening now to me, in order to heed, make it a practice to love your enemies. And that word love there, I think, is agapako. It's a root of agape. So that means love your enemies. Treat them well. Do good to, act nobly towards those who detest you and pursue you with hatred. In other words, move in the opposite spirit. So what happens if you do that? Well, what they do to upset you or irritate you is not going to get in you. If you're flowing in love and it's coming out, it's just going to repel any little arrow of the enemy that he shot through somebody to you. And one moment of someone being in the flesh does not define that person. As we don't want a moment of us being in our flesh, although Miss Lily is exempt from that. I don't know if she's ever gotten in the flesh. We don't want that to define us. So don't let it define them in your eyes. In other words, love is a deep feeling of affection, passion, or a strong liking for someone or something. If love seems like it flees you at the moment, just get in your prayer, pray in tongues, first of all, because it says in Jude 1:20, to pray in tongues, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, staying in the love of God. Jude 1:20. But praying in tongues helps with our love walk. And then as soon as you can, you need to be armed ahead of time with a few verses that will help you. Like 1 Corinthians 13. Love pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Love pays no attention. So it kind of reminds me of like, you have something happen and you have, did you ever play that game where, you know, they had the little round holes and those little like fish jump up and you gotta bap them back down and they pop up. You gotta bap them and they pop up. So when that thing pops up, that offense, just bam it down and say, love pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Pops up, no, bam. Love pays no attention to a suffered wrong. You've got to get armed with the word of God ahead of time, because Jesus said that offenses, we're in the world, offenses are going to come. But think of how many times we've offended the Lord. But I say, maybe not saying thank you, not being appreciative of something he's done, or doing something that we shouldn't have done. And then we can also ask the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with love. If we choose to nurture a grudge, that grudge is going to grow. I know that we've got to protect this place, our heart. This is where we see out of, is our heart. So we can't let offense get a hold inside of us. We can't let anger, upset, what they did get a hold of us. And if you found that it did get a hold of you, as soon as you can, get in your quiet time and get it off and get it out and say, Lord, I like to use this. Lord, I forgive. I forgive. I release. I bless them and I love them. And I'll sit in my prayer chair and I'll say it over and over and over until it drops from here into here. And I start feeling that love being restored again. Because if you've noticed, if you've ever been offended with somebody, the love goes out the door. So, and I know that that's not natural in the kingdom of God. If you have something that's lingering, that means you got shot with a fiery arrow and your breastplate is down. Well, what does he say that breastplate is? It's a breastplate of faith and it's a breastplate of love. And when you're rooted with faith and you're rooted in love, those fiery darts, it'll just get quenched with the water of the word. In Romans 5:5, he says that the love of God, that he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with love. Our hearts should be overflowing with love. I mean, that's who we are. If we're God's kids, we are children of love. Children of love. He says in Romans 13:8, owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. And if you love your neighbor, and you remember neighbor in Greek means one in front of you, one next to you, then you are meet fulfilling the requirements of the love. He says, these other such commandments are summed up into this one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself, for love does no wrong to others. It fulfills the requirements of God's law. In the Passion Translation, it says, love makes it impossible to harm another person. And so, we have to be intentional to put on love, and that was Colossians 3:12 through 14. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And to put on, and the Amplified says, to wrap yourselves in unselfish love. In the Message translation, it says, put on and wear love. It's your all-purpose garment. Never be without it. Can you imagine if we really did it? I mean, if we really meditated on some love versus receiving the Father's love and meditating on love, getting filled with love before we went out. He says in Ephesians 5:12, where it says, be imitators of God as well-beloved children, imitate their father and walk in love, esteeming and delighting in one another as God loves us. In 1 Corinthians 6:14, it says, do everything in love. Is that not an amazing verse? That everything we do should have the icing of love on it. Love is the icing of the cake. In 1 John 4:16, God is love. Whoever lives in love, and that word is agape, lives in God, and God lives in him. John 15:9 says, Jesus says, I have loved you just as the Father has loved me. Abide in my love. Continue in my love. And so, in another version it says, let my love nurture you. We need to be nurtured in love. What do you think we're going to be doing for all eternity? It's going to be a love feast. There's no envy, no jealousy, no anger, no fear. In 1 Peter 4:8, and let me start with 1 Peter 4:7. It says, the end of all days is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you can pray. But above all, have intense, unfailing love for one another. For love covers a multitude of sins. It forgives and disregards the offenses of others. Where it says that love is patient, love is kind, it's never envious. It's not jealous. It's not boastful or vainglorious. It's not conceited, arrogant, or inflated with pride. It is not rude. Love does not act unbecomingly. Love, the God's love in us, does not insist on their own way or their own right. It is not self-seeking. It is not touchy, fretful, resentful. It pays no account of an evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. And love is ready to believe the best of every person. Isn't that beautiful? And it says, love never fades or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. But as for prophecy, interpreting the divine will and purposes of God, it will be fulfilled and passed away. As for tongues, it will be destroyed. It'll cease. As for knowledge, that'll go away. It'll lose its value and be superseded by truth. The last person I should share about is loving God with all of our heart. Jesus, in Matthew 26 and 37, the rich young ruler said, "Hey, teacher, what is the greatest commandment of the law?" And he said, "Love the Lord your God," and this is the Passion Translation, "with every passion of your heart, with all the energy of your being, and with every thought that's within you." Another version says to love God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. We need to practice, in closing, loving God. Because God is a person. He's real. And he created us because he wanted a family. And so, reading the Bible is good. There's different things, they're good. But he wants time. One-on-one time where we just talk to him like our Father. Or just talk to Jesus. Talk to him about your life and just spend some time loving on him. Looking at him. Beholding him. Not just reading the Bible for knowledge, but for relationship. What makes us different? One of the things than all the different religions is we have a relationship with the living God. He has sons and daughters. He wants to see our faces. He wants to hear our voices. And he wants to love on us and let us feel his love. So once you start loving God, he starts pouring out his presence upon us because he can't help it. He's love. Father, I just thank you, God. We just want to thank you for just a fresh revelation of your love and of loving one another, of loving you, and of loving ourselves. Lord, help us to arm ourselves with your love. And to make it a practice to love one another. Lord, we thank you that we ask that you would fill our hearts fresh and anew, Holy Spirit, with your love. And we thank you, God, for loving us just as we are and making us just as you are. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.